So, solar and coal. It's important for our discussion today and the consideration of co-location of solar and coal that a lot of the new solar development in the Midwest and other areas across the country also have strong coal resources. Here are a few maps showing coal resources across the U.S., as well as the locations of underground mines. That's the image kind of down to the bottom right. But on the map to the left, you can see the locations of underground and surface mines, as well as coal resources. So the coal fields are shown kind of with the gray shading. The mines are represented by the triangles there. So comparing that with the NREL map of solar irradiance, you can see the overlap of areas with both high coal and solar resources. So in addition to the existence of both coal and solar resources, many areas with coal resources often have other site characteristics that are particularly suitable for utility-scale solar development. Oftentimes, these areas are more rural, with large open tracts of land, and oftentimes the surface use is primarily agriculture, which can be well-suited for utility-scale solar, as the land has already been disturbed. Moreover, if there is exploration in nearby production, there may also be a strong electric transmission infrastructure and grid that can support the injection of new solar resources. So as utility-scale solar expands into new markets, like the Midwest, this is going to become a bigger issue for developers. So for purposes of the discussion today, when we talk about siting a utility-scale solar project over coal resources and activities, we're focused specifically on underground coal mining. It goes without saying, but I'll say it anyways, that surface mining would not allow for the use of the surface for a solar facility. For quick background, there are three main types of underground mining in the U.S. The first is longwall mining, which is a mining method where large rectangular blocks are extracted in a single continuous operation. The working area is supported by roof support systems, and miners allow for the roof to collapse into the void behind them once they move out of the area. That's depicted on the image to the left there. The other more conventional method is room and pillar mining. This is a mining method where miners carve a room of coal supported by columns of coal supporting the ceiling. Generally, room and pillar mining does reduce the risk of subsidence compared to other underground mining techniques. The third main issue is retreat mining, which is a variation of room and pillar mining, where all coal has been mined from the room, the miners leave the room, destroy the pillars, extract the coal, etc. So now, what are the considerations and risks of developing a utility-scale solar project over severed coal interests and mining activity? We can essentially categorize these risks into three buckets. The first is title and finance, the second is surface access, and the third are physical damages. So the specific considerations to your project will depend on the site-specific circumstances of both the land and the landowner. So some questions that you want to ask yourself as you're starting development on a site with coal resources is, are the mineral and surface estates severed? And if so, what rights have been severed? Severance, as most of you know, typically occurs by an owner selling minerals and retaining surface rights, or vice versa, selling surface rights and retaining mineral rights. It's important to review the instrument severing the estate carefully to determine if it specifically reserves the coal interest holder any surface rights as well, or specifically waives surface rights from the coal interest. Relatedly, you want to understand who owns the coal rights. Are the coal rights owned by your landowner? Are they owned by a third-party individual? Or are they owned by a coal company? If the coal rights are owned by your landowner or a third-party individual, have they leased any of those coal rights to a coal company? This is important because it'll dictate who holds the mineral interest and who you'll need to work with in order to clean title, ensure that your use of the surface for your solar facility is protected. Also, if there is a coal lease, you will want to understand what the lease specifically provides for. What is the term of the lease? Does continuation of the lease require active production? Does the lease specify what surface use the coal company is entitled to? You'll also want to understand to the extent that there are existing or active mining operations at the property, or has there been any mining historically at the property? Related to that, is there a potential for future mining? Has there been any exploration in the area? As we'll touch on later, when mining occurs and how that relates to your project and your project timelines is important under certain federal and state laws. Additionally, is there any neighboring activity? If there's no mining activity specifically at your property, understanding whether there's coal mining activity in the area around the project site can be indicative of whether there are good coal resources in the area and whether there's a potential for future mining. This matters because when the coal interests are severed from the surface estate, certain risks are applicable and need to be addressed, but if there's active or potential mining activity, that poses different and additional risks and complications that need to be addressed. It's also important to understand what type of mining has occurred and or is proposed in the area. For example, longwall mining versus room and pillar mining carry different risks with respect to subsidence to the surface. This helps calculate risks for surface impacts and property damage. You also want to make sure you have a good understanding of the state laws. So we'll hit on this more in a moment, but based on state law, you want to understand what is the dominant estate, does the severance come with any implied surface rights, and are there other laws such as marketable title laws or dormant mineral acts that may be helpful? The last consideration, of course, is the physical damage that could result to your project from subsidence or any other damages caused by coal mining activity.